You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
It is that time again, and you are officially on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. Hope you're having a really good day today. Make it more so and keep on listening because I have some great stuff coming up for you. Hopefully I can help you with a lot of issues going on within you and you can apply some of this stuff to your own life. I have a lot of listeners who've emailed me their problems, questions, advice, things like that, which I can share with you guys too. Some suggestions that they give about relationships, about some of their personal problems, how to deal with some of their stress, and their boyfriends and girlfriends and husbands and wives and all that good stuff. So that's what we talk about here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Also, feel free to give me a call if you have any problems or issues you'd like to discuss. I'd like to remind you that you and I do not necessarily have a therapeutic relationship. This is mainly for advice, but also entertainment, information, whatever you can get out of it. That's really awesome. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So let me give you the number. 323 is the area code in beautiful downtown Studio City. 1-323-203-0815. The number again is 323-203-0815. And give me a shout if you have anything to talk about today. I'd like to hear from you. Otherwise, what we're going to be doing is talking about so many cool things. Whoa! I have asked listeners to tell me about their worst and best dates. One of my favorite subjects. So I'm going to share with you some of the cool things that have happened and some of the worst dates from hell, which are kind of funny. Also, I have some questions from listeners that I'm going to be answering about their relationships. What should I do? She doesn't like me. But sometimes she does. And sometimes she doesn't. Is she bipolar? Also, I have some answers to another question from a gentleman who wrote me, why do women leave men? Why do women leave men? That's kind of a general question, you know, very general question. But I mean, you know, I can give you some ideas as to what I've heard in my practice before. Some people who come in to see me, why do women leave men? You know, what are some of the reasons behind that? What are some of the most common complaints that I hear from women? All right. And also, what else? I'm going to tell you about some of the most common things I hear from people who come into my office and responding to my questions here on LA Talk Radio. What are the common things that make people feel absolutely miserable, depressed, anxious, weird, low self-esteem, all that stuff? What are some of the most common things? And how can you kind of get out of it? What can you think about to get out of these things? I'm going to help you with that too. I've also got some top tension. I've got 10 of them. Reducers. So how to lower some of that tension. Get with it. I'm going to give you some ideas on how to do that so you'll feel better. Just here, making you feel better. Again, the line on air, 1-323-203-0815. So let's jump into it. Best worst dates that I've received online from my listeners. So we're going to go to Angie in Austin, Texas. Dear Dr. Michelle. This is great. This is the worst date. This is not too bad. I mean, I don't think it's too bad. I think it's just kind of interesting. Since being single after almost 16 years married, I've tried the internet dating sites to meet new people. Being new, I met a really cool guy online. He was interesting, mature, intelligent. His picture was posted, and he was pretty good looking. After emailing and then finally talking on the telephone for several times, we agreed to meet for dinner. And when he walked in, I was at first kind of happy because he was away down the hall in the restaurant in a nicely lit area. But on closer inspection, when I got closer, I soon realized that the picture he'd posted was probably like 20 years old. Oh, no. That awesome wavy dark hair that he had was replaced by an ill-fitting toupee. And he wasn't really that old. Oh. To make matters worse, it was on kind of crooked. Oh, dear. He was a lot thinner and a lot less muscular than he portrayed himself in the picture. I don't remember a word he said throughout dinner because I was fixated upon his hair and the way he was slouching over and had that desperate look in his eye. Oh, dear. I'm so sorry, Angie. I feel sorry for the guy. Come on. But what do you learn from this, everybody? You online daters, I've got tons of them. You don't lie. Don't lie. So, kind of. Okay, you all lie. We all lie a little bit. We all want to be a little more exciting. You're not going to come off online in your profile as being a dud. Although sometimes you kind of think you are, and you'd just rather stay home and play video games. Go online and play with your pals. You know what I'm saying? Those Halo games you play, you know, all those things. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, don't lie. Try not to lie. If you're going to put a picture online, try to make it sort of close to what you look like. Because it's going to be even more embarrassing and really icky if, really. You know, if you're portraying yourself as something that you're not, and you supposedly have all these interesting hobbies, and you have all these wonderful, physical accomplishments that you've done, and you're so into sports, and you're physically active, and you look like you haven't worked out in about 10 years. Don't, you know what? Don't lie. Try to just be real. See, here's the deal. If you are keeping it real, then you're going to find somebody who's a lot like you. And I know some of you think, well, I have to kind of lie to be more attractive and more interesting. Well, make yourself more interesting and talk about some of the hobbies maybe you'd like and some of the interests you'd like and talk a little bit about your history. That's why you are maybe like this guy, a little older, because you've had a family, or maybe, I don't know, you've been divorced a couple of times. Or keep it real. Don't be scary and tell them all the information up front, but try to keep it real. Because this is one of my most common complaints I hear from people who come to see me is, oh, these internet people that I meet, they sound so wonderful, they're so interesting, they're great writers, by the way. When we're emailing or texting, when we get to that point, and talking on the phone, they have nice voices, and they know just what to say. But then when I see them, it's like, ah! And I'm talking about ladies and men. So come on, guys. All right, Angie, thank you for sharing that with us. Let's move on. Worst best dates ever, number two. This is from Tammy. I don't know where she's from. Where should I start? Last year, I went on 57 internet dates. Ooh, damn. I've met the guy who has three ex-wives with a child with each. I've met the guy who didn't bring his wallet. I met the guy who took taxis everywhere because he had three DUIs. And all of this while he was on his fourth vodka and tonic telling me. Oh. I had the guy who said he was 41 and was really 53, but he didn't think anybody would notice. We just kind of talked about that. Don't lie. She says, Dr. Michelle, I'm going to write a book called Dating Dummies on the Internet. I like it. Do it. You get on all the TV and radio stations. Dating Dummies on the Internet. Just kind of try to keep it real with yourself, though, Tammy. If you're not keeping it real with who you are, you know, you see what I'm saying? But you're getting good. I mean, look, come on. Everybody is trying to look for somebody. That's why they're putting it out there on the internet, on dating sites. Or they're just looking for a hookup. Whatever. That's fine. Cool. You'll determine that. Hopefully. People will lie. They want to put on their best face. But yeah, it's scary sometimes out there. Then you kind of get to understand why the guy has three ex-wives and why the guy, oh my God, I forgot my wallet. Suggested you meet at a really expensive restaurant and then you have a fabulous meal. Go, oh my God, where's my credit card? Oh, my wallet must have been stolen. Oh. Okay. But thank you, Tammy, for sharing that. I appreciate that. Worst best dates. Diane in Kansas writes about the first date with her husband. She said, we went on a, we went on a ride at a theme park. He threw up all over both of us. He was too sick to drive us home. I couldn't drive a stick shift. We ended up having a friend pick us up and take us home because he was still barfing. But the good news is we've been married for 5 years. And then she says, worst date, best date. So cool. I'm glad it worked out. So some of that stuff can be fun. Hey, you got to laugh. Always got to keep some humor in the relationship. That's kind of sucks on the worst date, though. Guy's eating hot dogs and junk, and then you go to the Six Flags park on the killer ride, and you're barfing all over her. Not good. Kind of a turnoff. Anyway, thanks for sharing that, Diane. Here we go. Number four, best dates, worst dates. This is Michelle in Chicago. Writes, dating when we are over 40 can be just as challenging, rewarding, and scary as dating was in our 20s and 30s. One of the earliest lessons we're given in social situations, oh, this is good, is to maintain appropriate eye contact. Appropriate is the key word here. Look, then, look away. Off and on. This is about body language and eye contact and all that cool stuff. Dr. Michelle, as I found during last night's dinner date, some people could use a refresher course. First date with a guy. He couldn't keep his eyes off mine. Literally, he took the term eye contact to a new undesired level. It was so ultimately creepy. His unwavering stare, oh, this is cool, felt like a Star Trek tractor beam desperately trying to pull Captain Kirk's, ooh, she's old school. Okay, let me do this again. His unwavering stare felt like a Star Trek tractor beam desperately trying to pull Captain Kirk's shuttle into the cargo bay before the Klingon bird of prey uncloaked and destroyed it. Oh, she's a Trekker. Anyway, I was grateful when he finally excused himself to go to the restroom because I felt like I had the tractor beam on my eyes and it was just creeping the hell out of me. First and last date. Yeah, okay, body language, girls, guys. If you meet somebody, I mean, it's really, one of the tips we always give is when you're first meeting someone a couple of times. Yeah, you let them know you're hearing them, listening to them, but you don't stare at them like, that's creepy. The creepy stare. It's called feeling really socially awkward. So you have to know how to appropriately kind of have the body language. Don't lean forward too far. Don't open your body too much. Don't touch them on the first couple of days. You know what I'm saying? If you're sitting across the table trying to get to know somebody, don't do that. No. Don't do the scary, creepy body language stuff. All right? Because, that's a turnoff. That'll freak people out. So you don't want to do that. All right. Now, that's a really good lesson. I like that one. Ah! Okay, here we go. Worst best dates. Jennifer writes, one time I had a date with a guy who is a captain in the Army. Our date was dancing. Then we went back to my place. Oh, this is cool. He went to the bathroom because we had a little bit too much to drink. When he did not return to me in the living room after 20 minutes, I thought he was sick. I went into my bedroom and knocked on the bathroom door, which was closed, knocking and knocking. Are you okay? Are you okay? Kind of sounds like a scene, from a bad Ben Stiller movie, right? Anyway, so knocking and knocking on the door, only to look down on the floor to realize that I saw these size 13 feet poking out of my shoe closet. I found this guy sleeping in my closet, curled up, hugging my shoes. He'd put a lot of my shoes on top of him, and he fell asleep. Okay, two things, Jennifer, either drunk or drunk with foot fetish or shoe fetish. If you like it, go for it. Hey, if it works for you, if he's a nice guy, whatever. Kind of creeped me out a little bit. First date, gets drunk, goes into the bathroom, falls asleep in your closet, caressing your shoes. That'd be a first and last date for me. She did not put first or last. I assume it was probably the last, but I could be wrong. Who knows? All right, let's go. Worst best dates. Kelly in Texas writes, on June 23rd in the year 2000, I went on a date with a guy that I had only met one day before. He wanted to take me to dinner to thank me for some work that I'd helped him out with. I'm a designer, and I was helping him with his living room. We talked and talked over dinner. We had the best conversation. He was really interesting, kind, mature, and fun. Come to find out, this guy is 15 years older than me. Then we decided to go to the movies. We had a great time. We're laughing, talking during the movie, just feeling good vibes. On our way back, he held my hand and just kind of pulled me close to him. We went to my house. He kissed me at the front doorstep, and then he went to his house. We talked on the phone all night that night. And by the end of the conversation, we were telling each other, I think I'm falling in love with you, in a joking manner. We were married a year later and are getting ready to celebrate our fourth anniversary. So that was like a best date ever, working it out. God, I love to hear those stories. So they kind of, see, they met through a working situation. I guess he had hired her to be, a designer. She's like an interior decorator or something for his house or something like that. And they got along really well because they met each other kind of in person first. So they were kind of, you know, they'd already seen each other. They'd already had established a relationship, unlike face-to-face that we do not get with online dating. So that's kind of interesting, too. I love that. Good stories. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for writing me, Kelly. By the way, if you would like to write me some of your best worst date scenarios, or if you have any issues or problems, questions being answered, you can find me at my website. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy, DR. It's abbreviated. Dr. DR Michelle with two L's, therapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. And there you can link on to my email address. And ask me the question if you'd like, which is docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. That way we can find out what's going on, and then maybe I can help you on the air, get your permission to talk about your issue, or I'll leave you anonymous, and we'll do it like that. Also, when you log on to my website, you can find out more about me and what I'm about, which is making positive life changes, making those changes, baby. You know, how to help yourself, quit blaming the world. Quit blaming everybody else. Get up your butt. Get some help. Take care of yourself. And just feel better. Alrighty? Okay. Here we go. Now, I have a letter. I'm going to pull it up here online. Mm-hmm. That's from Matt. Matt has an issue going on about a relationship. Matt actually did log on to my email address. DocMichelle@AOL.com, said, Dear Dr. Michelle, I've been friends with this girl for a little over 3 years. We tried dating when we first met. We lasted only a few weeks. It just ended one day. It was fine, no big deal. Afterwards, we became really good friends, emailing all the time, texting, talking on the phone, going out to lunch at least once a week. Last year, she told me she was very attracted to me, so I tried to hang out with her, but nothing ever happened. So about 2 months ago, I told her I never stopped having feelings for her. So we tried to date again. She seemed like she liked that. Everything was going good. She told me she thought us being such good friends gave us a good foundation for a relationship, which it usually does, and that it could be a good thing. She'd just moved to a town about 90 miles from home for the first time in her life. She's 29. All right, I went down and took her to dinner. That's geographically undesirable, by the way, if you don't get that mat, 90 miles. But if it's a good thing, you'll keep it. But that's really a... that's a GUD, baby. Anyway, he said, I went down and took her to dinner. She had a bad day at work. She was in a bad mood. She said she hates the job. She wants to go back home. We didn't have a good time at dinner because of this. She was complaining and grumpy. She got drunk. The next day, she tells me she wants to go back to being friends after we slept together that night because, quote, she can't do this right now because she's having a hard time adjusting and can't give me what I want, unquote. Okay. He says, I guess it's hard to imagine saying how great it was only 2 days before she wants to go back to being friends. I don't know if it's just her situation and what she's going through or what. Should I just give up on her? I've dated a whole bunch of girls, but there's something about her I can't get off my mind. I love being around her. I always have her laughing. She has me laughing. We have a great time. I am torn between being there as a friend and trying to be the Prince Charming that she deserves. I just don't know what to do. All I truly want is for her to be happy, whether it's with me or not. What should I do? Should I bail? Should I be a friend? Should I pursue her slowly? What? What? Okay. Obviously, Matt, darling, she's not ready for a relationship right now. That's it. Now, if you want to pursue her under, you know, these circumstances, knowing what she said, and she's kind of like off and on. I don't think she's bipolar. I mean, you know, that's a whole different deal. But I think she's not ready. She's confused. You know, I don't know. I'm just feeling that this might be futile for you. Give her some space. Actually, you know what? Come to think about it, give her a lot of space. I mean, you know, if it's not too painful for you. Because staying friends is probably fine. You know, as long as you aren't like secretly having this love. I mean, I hear and I read that, you know, she's like, really special. You can't get her off your mind. I get that and everything. But is that maybe because you can't have her? Think about that. But, you know, stay friends. Are you talking about email, texting, phoning? I don't know what you mean. I would just kind of not push it. I would not be driving 90 miles to get rejected again, especially after you've been so-called friends. And then right after you have sex the next day, she goes, I don't think I can do this. So, you know what? It might really hurt you a lot. Look, don't hold yourself back by loving somebody who doesn't love you in return. It seems like she doesn't know what she wants right now. So I just kind of like chill out, push back a little bit. Respect what she says. If you really do care for her, respect it. You know? It's kind of a common question. You know, what I hear a lot of times from guys is I'm getting mixed signals. That's really common. Because women want somebody sometimes, and they want to act like they really want somebody, but then they don't want to come on too strong, so they back off a little bit, which is kind of mixed. Guys get confused. They're black and white. They want to know. They want to know the facts. They want to know where they're going. So you're not alone. So, and I don't want to be, you know, too simplistic for you and all that, but if love is meant to happen between the both of you, it will. I don't know why she's acting the way she is. Maybe there's another guy on the scene. You could ask her. I mean, if she's already, you know, she sleeps with you and then the next day she goes, I can't do this. I mean, come on. You've known each other for over 2 years. Give me a break. So concentrate on yourself. My suggestion would be to kind of enjoy your life. Put it out there for other ladies. You know, get some nice quality women in your life. And, you know, these things happen for a reason sometimes. Maybe a little bit of you isn't ready yet. You know? Maybe that's why you really, really want her, because she doesn't want you, and you're not quite ready yet, so you're going to put it on her. I don't know. Just things to think about. But I really appreciate you writing, Matt. But I think that's a great idea. To just kind of back off a little bit. Back off. Space. Personal space. You know, don't be a jerk. Don't be passive-aggressive and disappear off the face of the earth to her. I mean, you're a friend, right? You guys are friends. That's what she said she wanted. So you're friends. Cool. Are you cool like that? Then just be friends. It's all good. It's all good. Don't, you know, you don't, if someone says, I am not ready yet for this, do not immediately start yearning and falling in love and, I really need this person. Hear the words, you know? Listen to the hand. You know what I'm saying? Just hear what she's saying. All right. All righty. What else? Dear Dr. Michelle, Brent is writing me from Los Angeles. Oh, yes, the dating capital of the world. You know what's so cool about having a psychological practice in Los Angeles? Yes. Yes, all you folks listening from the Midwest in the South. They are crazy people. We are crazy here in Los Angeles. Whack out. Whacked completely. Crazy people. Beautiful people. Have you ever driven around the upscale parts of Los Angeles? Have you seen the people driving in the cars they're leasing to drive to look good? Yeah. Anyway, it's about keeping impressions up and looking good and being perfect. So that's well, you know, it's the entertainment capital of the world here. Come on. It's about how you look. It's about being desirable. Sort of shallow sometimes. But anyway, I do digress. I get off on my own thing. Hey, I see it every day. I love it. What am I doing here? I love it. I love helping people out. I love working with crazy LA people. I'm one of them. I'm a native. I grew up, I was born in Los Angeles. Lived in San Francisco for quite a while, though. Which was kind of cool. Got out of L.A. Anyway, Dear Doc, Brent says, why do women leave men? I'm a 38-year-old who's been married for 5 years. Ooh. My wife says she's done because I neglect her. Well, you know what, Brent? Every day I talk to ladies who I've been seeing for a while or on the phone or every other day, whatever. They're really frustrated with their marriages. Why do women leave men? I don't know. I can't give you a generalization of that, but I hear that a lot of women express no hope about their husbands ever understanding what it is that frustrates them. You know, they don't feel like their husbands are going to change to understand the problem. Now, yeah, a big problem with ladies is we try to fix the guy. Don't try to fix a guy. Accept him for who he is. You know, it's the deal breakers. You can't change the deal breakers in anybody. So from a lot of women's perspective, marital problems are created by their husbands who do little or nothing to solve things going on. Wives tend to see themselves as the major force for resolving conflicts. And then when they give up their effort, the marriage is over. They're just like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't talk to them. Because when they talk to their husbands, a lot of times they tell me they have a very different explanation as to why their wives feel the way they do. So guys, a lot of times feel that the expectations of ladies in general, and wives in particular, are just out of touch, out of reach, too much. You know, and a lot of these guys say, you know, Dr. Michelle, I've made a huge effort to be caring and sensitive and loving and try to really be there, but I get no credit whatsoever. I get no credit. I work my butt off. I contribute most of the income if there's even no family a lot of times. They feel under enormous pressure. They have to work more, work harder, especially in this economy, and be better about raising their children, be around more often, be always attentive. You know, a lot of guys I see are really emotionally exhausted, and they feel that they get nothing but criticism. So you know what? I'm telling you that I see both sides of the coin here. You know, and you do know that like the simpler roles of guys in the past, it's been replaced by a really complex role. I mean, you know, guys really have had to change their whole way of behaving and acting, which is kind of cool. It's kind of, I mean, sorry, but I mean, you know, more focused, less patriarchal. It's all about me. You know, being a little more attentive and all that. But a lot of guys feel that now women, you know, have come to expect so much of guys that they're impossible to please. You know? So a lot of guys come to see me. They say that they've learned to become the husbands that their wives have wanted. But their jobs are getting more and more difficult. They feel so exhausted, like pressured, that they have to perform all the time. Anyway, so that's kind of what I see, both sides of the coin. So you ask me again. Why do women leave men? And then, down here it says, I feel I don't even neglect her. I see. I don't ever neglect her. I'm a very busy, hardworking guy. What is her problem? All right. Neglect is, you know, is what I hear, like, from a lot of women. It's like one of the most common reasons why women leave men. Because they feel neglected. You know what I'm saying? So some of the common complaints I hear from ladies is he ignores me except when he wants sex. unless I'm willing to sit there in front of a show or a movie he wants to watch. He rarely calls me to see how I'm doing. He hurts my feelings and then never apologizes. And then he says I'm too sensitive. So this is like common stuff I hear from ladies. I'm just telling you. You wrote me. Why do women leave men? This is what a lot of them say. And a lot of guys just don't get it. They're completely mystified by some of these complaints. And they do feel their wives demand too much. And, you know, and they feel like, you know, if Jennifer down the street was married to me, she'd love me because her husband's a jerk. They say, my wife's been so spoiled. I've been working so hard. I've been trying so hard. I work and they take my efforts for granted and they have unrealistic expectations of me. I can only be pulled so far. So what you guys have to do is come together. I don't know. I would sit down with her and I would say, can we talk about what you need from me? And I'm going to tell you how I feel about what's going on. You know, I just want to tell you that I feel like I'm being pulled in every which way. I think you guys need to sit down with a counselor, therapist, you know, and just kind of, you know, it sounds kind of early, 5 years. Yeah, get with it. Sit down. You know, it doesn't mean your marriage is destroyed. There's just communication stuff going on. She says that you neglect her. Maybe you can sharpen up a little bit. You say you're a great guy and you're working your butt off. And blah, blah, blah. Ask her what she would like. What would you like? Do you know how many guys don't ask that? What they do is say, God, what now? you know, or they come home really late. So just ask her what she would like. Sit down, have a civil conversation. Do what I call the I statements and reflection. I statements. I feel confused when you say that I neglect you. What do you mean? I feel sad that I make you feel hurt because you think I neglect you. And then when she tells you what's going on, she says, well, you only, I think, pay attention to me more when you want to have sex. And you only pay attention to me when you want to have me cook a certain dinner. Or you want. And then that way you can say, no, so what I'm getting from you is that you think I only pay attention to you when you want sex. That's reflection, reflecting what she said. And then work it out. Go, no, I love you. No, of course I want to have sex with you. You'd think I was crazy if I didn't, and I wouldn't. If I didn't want to have sex with you, we'd be in big trouble. So you guys just sit down. I statements, I feel, I'm confused, I care about you. And then, you know, kind of reflect back to her what you're hearing her say. This doesn't mean you have to turn into this effeminate, touchy-feely, all of a sudden, oh God, here I go, I have to become a woman guy. No. It's called good communication skills. You know, that's a really positive thing, those good communication skills. So try that, all right? Just sit down and talk to her. Or, you know, get a counselor. You guys could work this out. It sounds doable. You just need a little more open communication. She feels neglected. You need to find out why, what you can do to help her out. And then you get to also tell her what you would like from her sometimes. Because you're feeling frustrated, too. You feel like you're stretched in every way. Like you can't give no mo. You know? All right. Think about that. And thank you for writing. If you'd like to write me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, here on LA Talk Radio, you can do so. My email address is docmichelle@aol.com. You can find that on my website, which is drmichelletherapy.com. And if you'd like to call, you have a question or a problem or something going on with you, you can call live on the air at 323. That's the area code. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And then maybe we can talk about stuff and what's going on. Let's move on. Now, one of the most common things that I hear from people who come in to see me online, listeners on the air, and also some of the pieces I do for webbyhealth.com, which is, you know, it's the internet TV thing, doctors, stuff like that, is that people just feel miserable, especially right now. You know, there's so many changes going on. Yes, in our lives, in the government, society, financially. Sucks. That on top of everything else we've always had. Low self-esteem, some depression, a little bit of anxiety, you know, problems with relationships, all that stuff. So, you know, that just kind of sprinkles in. That just kind of seals it right there. I have no money. I can't pay my mortgage. Barely pay my bills. It sucks right now. Okay, so what are some of the most common things that make people feel miserable, and how can we kind of work with them? Working with them. Let's see here. One of the most common things that I see is that people talk to me about their problems, and they say that others make them feel bad. My boyfriend makes me feel so depressed sometimes. Uh-huh. They say others make them feel guilty about things. Okay. Let me just give you a reality check. Nobody makes you. Now, maybe it's semantics. Maybe I'm just making the language, you know, pretty direct here with you. But what I'm saying is nobody kind of makes you feel. You choose to feel. You create your own feelings. You make your own decisions. If somebody is there and they're making, you have guilt feelings, you have to explore why you have those guilt feelings. Are you guilty? Is it old stuff from your past that you used to think about that made you feel guilty? You have to nail it. Is someone causing your feelings? No. No. No, people and events do not cause feelings. They can trigger your old stuff. They can trigger your buttons, your old mental habits. So what I would suggest to do is kind of empower yourself with more information about your past and what kinds of triggers are yours. If you're really sensitive about your intelligence because your dad told you you were a dummy all your life, and anytime you're challenged about something at work or in a relationship about something that you have to do in terms of like intelligence of thought provoking things, that's your issue. The truth is you're probably not impaired intellectually. You're probably a pretty smart person if you're functioning in this society. So you have to kind of see what triggers your own stuff and learn about communication skills too. Because, see, if you think that other people control your feelings and other people make you feel bad, no, you got to learn how to communicate. Because if someone says to you something that's hurtful, you need to communicate back that, ow, I felt like you were thinking that I was stupid. Is that right? Communication. Communication. That'll break it. Okay. What else do I hear? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of people who feel really guilty, and they're conscientious in their self-improvement efforts. You know, they're really hard on themselves. This is another thing. They never miss a chance to remind themselves what they should or should not do. I should have studied more. I shouldn't have eaten so much. I should have been nicer. I should have been cooler. I should have been more intelligent. I should have shut up. I should have been, should have. That doesn't get the job done. Get off yourself. Because it's just a way of punishing yourself after the fact. And just know that guilt and shame don't produce any action. They drain your energy. It discourages you. The more down you are about yourself, it's like, you know, it's a spiral effect. Keeps going. So, you know, more information about realistically achieving who you are, what you want. Find some passions. Get off your back. Get off your back. Focus on your passions. Feely good stuff, whatever that is. Find them. If you don't know what they are, start looking for some stuff that you might be interested in doing. Get off your back. Don't punish yourself. It's that old crap from when you were growing up, from whoever. You're not good enough. You didn't get the job done. Just shut up and do it. God, I'm so out of shape. I'm such a slob. I'm not, you know, do it. Freaking do it. Isn't that wonderful? Nice therapist, huh? Freaking do it. There you go. Okay. No, I'm just saying, I'm not being like, I'm saying to just be kind to yourself. Look at some of the things you can improve and just back off. And do these things slowly, one at a time. Don't try to tackle everything at once. And, you know, it's also kind of like the relentless critic. I see a lot of folks who are always finding fault with the way they look or they feel about the way others act towards them. They're very self-conscious socially, right? Very so. I wonder what they thought. I wonder how I look. I wonder what I seem like. Do I seem socially awkward? Don't worry about it. You be you. Don't you worry, honey. Okay? Just be you. Enjoy. Do what you do. You know, if you'd like to change your appearance a little bit, you know, go online. Look at some of the looks that some people are having that you'd like to have. Guys, ladies, whatever. Okay? Also, the people who believe that they have to do everything perfectly or not at all, the OCD folks. I'm talking about obsessive compulsive personality disorder. Like, do you sacrifice fun in your life to achieve every goal? Do you sacrifice fun? Can you just kick it and relax a little bit? You know, perfection is a high goal, but don't insist on starting there or even arriving there. Just enjoy and do the best you can. What else makes people miserable? One of the most common things. This is a biggie. And I think, you know, this comes from upbringing. You know, let's just lay it out there. Let's just blame it on our caregivers, our mommy and daddy, our guardians. No. But if you assume you're to blame whenever somebody's upset, oh my God, what did I say? I'm a bad person. I'm responsible. What did I do wrong? Do you feel responsible for, like, if your roommate's in a bad mood or your significant other or your boss or some of the people you work with? Okay. The person who is upset owns the problem. Stop apologizing and accepting blame for someone else who's agitated, going through stuff. Unless you physically threatened them or did something, you know, to scare them. But you know what? Most of us own our own problems. Everybody has the right to have angry feelings, and you don't have to feel guilty. It comes from old messages that you're not allowed to feel. You're not allowed. And if I'm pissed, if one of your parents is upset or angry, you have to feel that too. No, that's not true. Just interpersonal conflicts can be healthy. You know, sometimes it leads to change, deeper understanding. And it makes for emotional wellness. You can communicate better if you understand why someone's PO'd and within yourself as well. But don't take it on. You didn't do anything wrong. I have a client who always says to me, whenever her boyfriend gets really mad at her or whenever some of her girlfriends or coworkers, she goes, God, I'm such a bad person. I go, hello? Are you really? What have you done lately to threaten somebody or hurt somebody? Are you? No, she's really not. But she's taken it upon herself to feel, take in every time someone's pissed. And it's not about her necessarily. She just kind of, oh, what can I do to help you or fix you? People own their own feelings. Let them. Okay? You're right. What else? I'm one of my other common misery makers. A lot of people call themselves stupid, and this is real similar to the last one. A lot of people I know say, God, I was so stupid. This is with the kind of obsessive personality, in a way. If they make a mistake, they call themselves a failure if they, like, slip off their diet or whatever. Don't call somebody back right away, parents right away, follow up with things, or skip a test review session, or A lot of them are, feel like they're under attack and get really defensive. If some of their mistakes or some of their slip-ups are pointed out to them, don't be so damn defensive. We all screw up. We all do problems. We all do things. Okay, you're only human. I always tell folks to treat themselves with kindness. Treat themselves with kindness, not abuse. Why would you want to abuse yourself? Because you think you deserve it. That's bull. Especially a lot of folks who've been in abusive relationships with parents or caregivers or siblings or whatever, or from school, bullies, whatever. Abusive relationships, they deserve it. Come on, allow yourself to make mistakes and forgive yourself. Move ahead. Try again. Try to have a positive attitude. Take time to laugh at yourself. You know, they have this whole theory about the healing power of laughter. Fun to laugh. Good for you, too. It's really healthy. Good for you. What else? Oh, I know. I wrote down another really common misery maker is people who are always trying to please. Always trying to please. This is real similar with some of the other personality types who take it on. If someone else is angry, take it on like, oh, I must have done something wrong. They're compulsive people pleasers. People pleasers. Maybe you need the frequent approval of others. Frequent approval of others. And you probably forget to approve of yourself. That means you have low self-esteem. You don't need it. Why do you need it? Because you never got it. Okay. That's sad. I'm sorry. You never got it growing up. You never got a lot of frequent approval. You never got a lot of kudos. You never got a lot of love. There was some emotionally unavailable parents there. Okay, that happens. And it sucks. And it hurts. Just forgive yourself. And approve of who you are. You know? Kind of ask yourself this, too. Do you make sacrifices for other people and then resent them? Even when they don't ask you to help them, you kind of volunteer and help them. You see what I did for you? You see what I did? I'm so cool. I'm so good. I love you so much. You see what I did? That's ego stuff, honey. You have kind of low self-esteem when you have to keep proving. You know, a really good quality character person goes, I love you and therefore I did this for you. Period. End of report. You just do it. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it goes. Okay, another misery maker. Do you hang on to painful memories? A lot of folks who come in to see me, you know, psychodynamics, psychoanalytic therapy, that's really, really beneficial. It's good. It's all good. But hanging on and reliving painful memories. You're keeping those neurons alive, baby, of that old stuff. You're firing them up. You see? You're keeping addicted to that old feeling of pain. Cut the pain off. Get through it. Forgive them. Forgive you. Move on. Make your life here and now. You have a choice. Okay? You know, the only part of the past that affects you is your present interpretation of it. Okay? That's your present interpretation. Okay, you got hurt. People were not nice to you. Okay. Only you're in charge of saying, you know what? They weren't. They needed help. They had problems. You either choose to forgive them or you don't. All right? Try to reinterpret these past events in a positive way. Forgive them. It's really kind of necessary sometimes to just forgive and move on. You know, you know what we do sometimes too? Is by constantly focusing on somebody else and how they hurt us. It's a real good deflection away from our own stuff. Keeps us busy from looking at our own stuff and how we can improve ourselves now. Blaming others all the time keeps us busy. So you got to take a look at that. It's not a good thing. All right. Misery Makers 101. That's Dr. Michelle. Listen, if you would like to log on to my website, you can do so. You can find me at drmichelle.com. therapy.com, Dr. Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. You can find out more about my theory of positive life changes. How do we make those positive life changes? How do we move on? I tell you about that. Also, if you have a question or comment, you can contact me here at latalkradio.com, latalkradio.com, or, of course, on my website at docmichelle@aol.com. I would love to hear from you. It's always fun, you know, to answer your questions. And I hope I help some of you folks who wrote me out there. And also all you listeners who listened and maybe got something out of it as well. All right. Have a fabulous day. I've had really a lot of fun. I appreciate you writing me. Do take care of yourself. Come on. It's your life here and now, baby. It's Dr. Michelle saying bye-bye.